In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus' death and resurrection are not ordinary events. They are historical. What is written there is what actually happened. For if they are not historical and simply a metaphor of some deeper truths, if they are not truth itself, or even if it is simply embellished history, we are lost eternally. So it is historical, but that history is not simple history. That history is prophetic in nature. Perhaps a better way of saying it, the history of Christ's death and resurrection is apocalyptic. The sun is darkened, the curtain torn, the earth shook, rocks split, and tombs broke open. The dead were raised. The end of all things is not far off in the future, but it's in the death of Jesus Christ. His death is in every way an earth-shattering event, a world-altering phenomenon. It is the very definition of apocalypse. In his death is the end. Because as he himself said, it is finished. There is nothing more to be added. So do not see the apocalypse as simply a moment of destruction that is yet to come. But we also must see apocalypse, or the apocalypse, as salvation. For without destruction, there can be no salvation. To make all things new, he first must be destroyed. Not a reformation, but a destruction. Not simply an improvement, but a demolition and a recreation. Improve this fallen world, steeped in sin and death, and you simply get an improved fallen world, still steeped in sin and death. Reform a sinner, and you get a reformed sinner, who still quakes and begs the mountains to hide them from the judgment of God. God can't simply fix you. He must kill you and raise you to a new life. It's apocalyptic. The same thing is true of the world. He could not simply fix it, but he must destroy it in order to recreate it. And in that destruction, we find salvation. So Egypt is drowned, and Israel is saved. Goliath is killed, Israel is saved. The Canaanites are destroyed, Israel is saved. A seed falls to the ground and is buried. A new life springs up. Death, destruction, resurrection, and salvation. There can be no salvation apart from destruction, no new creation apart from tearing down the old, no heaven without someone suffering hell. So that is what he did. The disciples all fled. The women were there, but they were far off in a distance, wanting nothing to do with that death, only feeling sorry for him and for themselves. Christ is alone, because he alone is the one who bleeds to reconcile man and God. He alone is the one who drinks the cup. He alone is the one who suffers the destruction in the place of all men. Because he bore our sins in his own body, he is the one judged with the wicked. He is Israel and all its wickedness reduced to one. He is the world and all its evil reduced to one. The snake lifted up, bearing the sins of the world, suffering the destruction that man deserves. So in him, man is destroyed. In him, man is recreated on the third day. In him, the world is destroyed. In him, the world also is recreated. So thus we see the curtain temple is torn. There was an earthquake. Rocks split. Tombs broke open. And the dead are raised. It's apocalyptic. The curtains separated the holy place from the holy of holies, even as sin separated man from God. That is why the temple was a place of daily sacrifice, because daily sin, an offering needed to be given to God to atone for the sins of the people. But not one of those offerings could bring man into the very presence of God. Not one could give him heaven. Not one blood of sheep or goats or lambs could grant them peace and a new creation. And so Christ has gone into the inner sanctuary to make a perfect sacrifice, which does open up heaven, which does reconcile man to God, and does bring about a new creation. So the curtain of the temple is torn. The temple itself is torn and rendered useless because it has achieved its purpose. The fulfillment has come. The old must give way to the new, for the two cannot stand side by side. The old must give way to the new, so the old must be torn down and destroyed. Those who hold on to the old will suffer the same destruction as that temple curtain. For as the heavens split open in the days of the flood, so also fire will fall on all the ungodly and the wicked and the atheist and the spiritual but not religious. And the work righteous man-centered religions, all will suffer destruction because of that death of Christ. There is no agree to disagree. There is no coexisting with God. There is only God's will, God's way, God's kingdom, God's religion that makes all things new. That is it. Yes, still the enemies of God fail to see that the apocalypse has already happened, so they gather together to fight against God, but the battle is already over. They gather in synagogues and temples and in high places and mosques, but the Lord laughs at them. They've missed the battle. They've missed the end of all things, because the apocalypse is the death and resurrection of Christ. And all men will be judged by that death and resurrection. Even as all creation is made new by that death and resurrection. So the earth shook to get man's attention. God is doing something new and marvelous and different. He is unraveling the very foundations of the earth by his death and resurrection, and bringing in a new age that transcends time and space. Judged guilty in the place of all men, the Son of God labors perfectly to recreate this fallen world so engrossed in sin and in the shadow of suffering and death. This world was meant to be a bountiful place of life and flourishing, of harvest and fruit, and to be life-giving. But now we see barren rocks and desert landscapes dotting this earth. But at his death, God has split open this barren, lifeless world and has brought forth something new, something beautiful, something eternal, a new creation, pure, holy, and spotless, to be the home of man. Thus the graves broke open, and the dead are raised to inhabit this new creation of God. His death is our victory, and his resurrection guarantees our resurrection. He is the first fruits of all them that have fallen asleep, so a great harvest must follow. God did not abandon Christ to the grave, and neither will he abandon those who have died in Christ. They too must rise. We confess, I believe in the resurrection of the dead, and the death of Christ has brought it about. This occurs on the last day, to be sure. In a chronological sequence, it occurs on the last day. But already, at the death and resurrection of Christ, the tombs relinquish their prize prematurely, as if they are confused, because the death and resurrection of Christ has brought the end of all things. It is the apocalypse. So the resurrection has come. Man is immortal. The dead, he was dead to sin, but now he is alive to Christ, recreated in Christ to be a new creation and to live in the holy city, the new Jerusalem, forever. As we begin to walk through Holy Week for yet another year, let us not pretend like we don't know the outcome. Let us not pretend as if we are somehow transported back to that first Holy Week. We are not. but rather let us rejoice in the outcome. Let us see in the death and resurrection of Christ the end of all things and the beginning of all things. The end of all things because the Son of God, or because judgment has been poured out on the Son of God in the place of all men. Wrath is gone. And the beginning of all things because that death and resurrection has brought a new creation, new life, hope, and peace for us. So with good reason, we call these days that we live in the end times, or the last days. Because Christ has died a historical death and was glorified in a historical resurrection to unite his history to ours. As water doused your head, the apocalypse is brought to you, death and resurrection, destruction and salvation. As his body is placed on your tongue, you stand not in an old, dying, passing away world, but you stand in the new creation, the new heavens and earth. In heaven itself, the curtain is torn before the throne of God and the Lamb. What you see is not the full reality. What you are has not yet been fully revealed. But you will be made like him, for his death and his rising is the apocalypse, and has removed this old dying away world, and has brought you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. To him be the glory now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.